4 minutes after 10, and our chairperson is not here, so I guess I'm going to take over. We're going to pass the first item on the agenda and do it next week, the election of the officers. The second, first item is approval of the minute. Has anybody had a chance to review it? Second?
Sure.
In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Number two, old business project update, Pam.
For the City of Evansville projects, Covert Avenue. Of the 132 right-of-way parcels needed, 77 of the parcels are complete. Walnut Street project. The consultant is working on getting geotech and pavement design process underway. Public information meeting for phase one, which is from US 41 to Weinbach, is scheduled for 6 p.m. on March 12th at the CK Newsom Community Center. The Washington Avenue, 2nd Street, Parrott Street area projects. Stage three plans for the Washington 2nd Street portion of that project are on track for submittal to NDOT by May 17th. Weinbach Avenue Road Diet is under construction, and the curbs, sidewalk, and driveways have been installed on the east half of the corridor between Covert Avenue and Washington Avenue. Pigeon Creek Greenway, mid-levee connection. Project was let for bid on January 16th and awarded to Blankenberger Brothers for the low bid of approximately $1 million. Evansville Sign Inventory and Replacement Project, Phase 3. Stage 3 plans are on track for submittal to NDOT by February 15th. For Vanderbilt County projects, Columbia Delaware Bridge, Stage 3 plans were submitted to NDOT on January 14th. Green River Road from Kansas to Boonville County is under construction and utility relocations are underway. Town of Newburgh, Newburgh Rivertown Trail project. The pre-construction meeting was held on January 7th. In Ward County, Bell Road project. Right-of-way acquisition and is ongoing, and offers have been accepted for 40 parcels. There are 67 parcels total, so it's more than half. Warwick Trail Safe Routes to School project. The consultant is working on the environmental documents. In the City of Henderson, Green River Road sidewalk extension. A scoping meeting was held on January 22nd, and the consultant has submitted an estimate for design to the city for their review. Wathen Lane Bridge replacement. The project was advertised for a bid on January 22nd. Bid opening was held on February 12th. Two bids were received and are currently under review. Watson Lane project. Notice to proceed letter for the design was sent on January 29th to Integrated Engineers. And KYTC project, the Spotsville Bridge. The letting for the project is targeted for September 2019.
Any questions for Pam? Any comments? Thanks, Pam. We're moving on to new business. Item A, Evansville Henderson Regional Transportation Guide. Man.
All right. So in the fall of 2017, Toyota brought the Community Transportation Association of America into the region to look at the potential improvements to regional transportation beyond the personal vehicle. What Toyota is finding is, especially with their suppliers nearby, some people couldn't get to work if they didn't have their own vehicle. And being up in Gibson County, and a lot of the people coming to that area to work is from Vandenberg County, and even some from Henderson, they were looking at different options. Throughout that process, we were a part of the meetings and conversations with CTAA, and one thing we kind of discussed and thought about was we have all of these different regional transportation providers, but not everyone knows about them. And so one of the things we thought of was an easy fix would be to develop a regional transportation guide that lists all of the different providers. So that is the flyer that you see there in your packet, if you didn't drop out, that we developed. And part of that is we developed a regional transportation advisory committee. Watts, Metz, Hart, the nonprofits, we get them together. We're going to meet quarterly. And through two meetings and several phone calls and emails and different conversations, as a group, we developed this transportation guide. So we're just making this available to as many people as we can to get the word about all the different providers. The guide is for the 5-county region, not just Warwick, Henderson, and Gibson, and Vandenberg County, but also Gibson and Posey County. And so the members of the RTAC all have this and have it available for their clients at their organizations. If anyone feels they want to pass the guide along to others, there's a PDF on our website under the Publications and Links tab. This is just for your information, but I will take any questions.
So I see the cabs and ride share. Aren't there? Oh, never mind. It's right there. It's right.
Thank you.
Is this anything that would be beneficial to have in the mall's common area?
I believe so, yeah.
Especially initially, or would it just be an initial thing or something that would be beneficial long term?
Yeah, I think on the long term, and I will try to let you know if and when we update it. But yeah, I mean, we can get you some copies, or you can make as many copies as you want and put it up there. That'd be great.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
I'd be interested if I got some questions.
Yep, that'll work. Yep, anybody that could use it would be helpful, for sure.
Any other questions, comments for Matt?
It's a really good idea. I think it'll be helpful.
Yep, thank you.
Agreed.
Item B, 2019 Title VI Goals and Accomplishments Report.
All right, the next item, at the beginning of each year, we develop a list of all the items that we accomplished in the previous year for regarding Title VI and what our goals are for the upcoming year. Those accomplishments include any of the trainings that we went to, workshops, updates to our document, any Title VI surveys that we hand out, and how many complaints we had from the previous year. So on the back is that report for this year. It's always, I try to make sure it's a one-page report, and it gets added to our Title VI, what do we officially call it? Title VI Implementation and Limited English Proficiency Plan. This will go into the appendix of that plan, and we will hopefully have a list this long next year for everything that we did in 2019. And by the way, there were no Title VI or ADA complaints again for 2018. And that also is just informational, but again, I'll take any questions.
Are you our ADA coordinator?
Yes, Title VI ADA coordinator, yep.
Have you had any contact by KYTC's Title VI people, just out of curiosity, because they never tell us when they're going to visit
yes,
MPOs.
Well, it was last year that they came in and they reviewed, there's some information in there. They reviewed our report and we kind of discussed some things with them, and they had some ideas for us. We updated a few things based on conversations with them.
Okay.
And I know, I mean, we're trying, I think the girl that was there is now somewhere else. Somebody took her place. I know they're always trying to find training opportunities themselves, that we're trying to let them know when Indiana has something that they could attend as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Any other questions, comments for Matt? Item C, amendment to coordinated public transit human services transportation plan. We need approval for this.
Yep. So during the RTAC meetings that we had, being that we reached out to a lot of the nonprofits that provide transportation, we found a new transportation provider. The organization, the church that kind of started the organization that runs Bridge Builders, also has an organization they're calling the Missing Pieces Community Development Corporation. And they have a program called Seniors Against Fearful Environments. They provide transportation to seniors to get to the doctor, go to the pharmacy, go shopping even, etc. And I think currently they provide transportation in their personal vehicles. So they're looking at getting a vehicle this year in the from the Section 5310 program. But in order for them to be eligible for that program, they need to be within our coordinated plan. So we're asking for your approval to add them with this paragraph that we have here, as well as on page 55, there's a table that goes through the year 2021 that shows all of the vehicles that will be that have been or will be probably requested by the agencies. So we had to add them to that table, and METS is getting two paratransit vehicles this year instead of one, like that was listed in the document. So do need your approval for this to add missing pieces in their safe transportation program, as well as update the table of projects.
Make a motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion? In favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We move on to, well, thanks, Matt. We move on to item D, FY 2021 TIP amendment, Pam.
Sure. We've got several amendments to the TIP this month. NDOT has requested all of that. The first one is something different. We typically only have projects in our TIP that have federal funding associated with them. This first project doesn't have federal funding at this point in time. But NDOT is asking us to put it in the document just in case federal funding becomes available and they want to add it to it. And it is the Mill Road grade separation project through the local tracks program. They've asked us to add preliminary engineering in 2019 at a total of $550,000, right away in fiscal year 2020 at a total of $200,000, and construction in 2021 at a total of $5.5 million. The PE costs are going to be funded with 100% state funding, and right away in construction will be funded with 80% state funds and a 20% local match. The next project is various location intersection improvements, statewide rural intersection conflict warning system. They've asked us to add construction in fiscal year 2020 at a total of $3 million. It will be funded with 90% HSIP or safety funding and a 10% state match. Next is various counties, survey equipment and software for various locations in the state, for use in various locations in the state. They add construction in fiscal year 19 at a total cost of $1.4 million. Costs will be funded with 80% federal STBG funds and a 20% state match. Next is NDOT drone monitoring, then the purchase of NDOT drones for monitoring assets. Ask us to add construction in fiscal year 2019 at a total of $17,000. It'll be funded with 80% STBG and a 20% match. Next is drones for the Indiana State Police. Construction in 2019 at a total cost of $75,000, and that's 80% STBG and a 20% state match. And then Indiana State Police survey equipment and software. Construction in 2019 at a total cost of $215,000, and that's an 80% STBG and a 20% state match. And the last is for on-call consulting review. Add preliminary engineering in 2020 and 2021 at an annual cost of $2.1 million. Costs will be funded with 80% STBG and a 20% state match. Do you have any questions?
So how does, where does a local match? I mean, 20% local match.
For the Mill Road?
Yeah.
Vandenberg County. It would come from the county.
And do they have to appropriate that before? How does that?
They would
What is the actual mechanism of that funds coming to?
Typically what happens when that when a phase begins that they have a match, or when they're ready to begin a phase where there's a local match, NDOT will send an invoice to the county and the county will have to pay their match.
Okay, so they're aware that this is coming?
Absolutely. They put in an application, actually.
Okay.
And then they had to demonstrate in their application that they had the funds available.
Any other questions, comments? I have a question for Nate. Do they have to coordinate with you guys on that drone?
So the drones are actually controlled at the federal level, not even local. So not even our local air traffic are allowed to give approval or anything. FAA is shockingly nimble on drones. They have actually changed what governs them several times in the last couple of years. But now it's almost as simple. You register your drone, you get it. There's an app on your phone. And that works for anybody, including the state police or just your recreational people. And they'll tell you, hey, you're too close to an airport, you can't fly here, or...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so not long as people are going through that, the proper process, it's actually out of our hands completely.
The app tells them that? Interesting.
Yeah. Any other questions, comments? We need a motion to approve?
So moved.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion and comments? In favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Item E, draft Metropolitan Transportation Plan 2045 and draft 2020-2024 Transportation Improvement Program. Pam again.
So the MPO has completed a draft of the Metropolitan Transportation Plan 2045. The plan is a list of identified needs proposed for funding within the time frame of the plan. So for it's a list of projects to be implemented between now or planned for now to 2045. The needs have been identified through the planning process, which includes coordination with state and local stakeholders and input from our citizen advisory committee. The plan is required to be fiscally constrained to complete the fiscal constraint element of the plan and demonstrate that the plan is implementable. The estimated cost for the projects is totaled and then compared to the estimated federal funds and local funds that are reasonably expected to be available during this time period. When the agency, because this is a planning document, it's not a document that identifies things that are being implemented. But when an agency that has jurisdiction over a project that's in that plan is ready to move forward with that and make a financial commitment to that project, then that project moves from the transportation plan into our TIP, our Transportation Improvement Program. And we've updated the Transportation Improvement Program as well. We have a new draft of that. It covers year 2020 through 2024. It was developed working cooperatively with the state and local partners. And it lists the projects that will be receiving funding in the next 5 years for the city of Evansville, Henderson, Vandenberg, Warwick, and Henderson counties, as well as NDOT and KYTC. There's also an air quality conformity determination that covers both of these documents. And if you want to see that documentation, it's included in the 2045 plan, Chapter 8. All of these documents, all of this information is out for 30-day public comment period. It began February 11th and runs through March 12th. We are going to have two open houses next week. The first one is on February 19th at the Evansville Central Library, Browning Room A, and it's from 4:30 to 6. The second is February 20th, and it will be held in Henderson Public Library, again from 4:30 to 6. If you look at the memo in your packet, it lists some other places that you can find the information, various libraries, Henderson City Manager's Office, some other locations where you can find it. You can also find both documents, as well as the conformity, since it's Chapter 8 in the plan. All of that information is on our website as well. If you would like a hard copy of the draft, please let us know, and we can get one for you, too. So then, based on all of the feedback that we receive on all of these documents, they will be presented to you and to the policy committee in March for adoption. So if you'll just take the time, review the plans, give us any feedback that you have by March 12th, we'd like to incorporate your comments in that document. And if you have any questions or any other needs or want some explanation, additional information, feel free to come to the office, give us a call, anything that we can do, or come to the open houses. We can talk to you there as well.
Any question, comments for Pam? Thanks, Pam. Any other business?
I
I had a couple of things. I just wanted to mention that Kentucky, we're in the process of developing our new six-year highway plan, and we're doing SHIFT again, the Strategic Highway Investment Formula for Tomorrow, which is a data-driven approach, and this is the second time that we've used this method. So it'll be very similar to last time. We've just made a few refinements to the process, but the important thing I wanted to let you know, the first step is sponsoring projects. So the MPO will be reaching out to officials in Henderson County and looking for projects that they're interested in looking at for inclusion in the new six-year highway plan. And we need to get those by March the 15th. And then once we have those, we'll score the projects. Projects that don't make it based on the data-driven approach will come back to the locals to for potentially assigning boost points to local input points, basically. And hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have a draft six-year plan together. And the other thing I wanted to mention was it's an air quality thing, but there's a Kentucky Division for Air Quality is considering removing an air quality monitoring site in Henderson County. And I've brought that to the MPO's attention. You know, from a transportation conformity standpoint, the MPO staff aren't too worried about it because they're used to dealing with conformity in the Indiana side. But I guess there's potentially some concerns for industry. You know, if I guess our big question is, are we going to be relying on the monitoring sites in Indiana to make the air quality determinations? And if so, is there the potential for Henderson to go from being designated as attainment to being non-attainment? And if so, what effects would that have? So we're looking into that. And but Division for Air Quality, they're kind of the lead agency, and they are accepting public comments in case anyone has feelings about the removal of that site.
Is the public comment period open until March
8th? It is open until, it's early March. I have the specific date here. March 8th, you're right. And that's all I had.
Any question for Tufts?
Is the purpose for that renewal just cost savings or?
You know, they didn't really provide a whole lot of reasoning. They did say that apparently it's located at a fire station, and the fire station is being expanded, and apparently they've had trouble finding a good replacement site. They also did some analysis on previous year's data, which showed that essentially they don't feel like there's any real concern as far as air quality in that area, which is good, but again, how is EPA going to make their determinations in the future if they don't have data, I guess is our question. But yeah, I think as far as DAQ is concerned, at least based on what I've read, it's just based on the data, they don't feel like it's really necessary to spend the money to relocate this thing. But again, they do have quite a bit of information on their website if you're interested in looking at that. Okay. And I do have a link to the website if anybody's interested.
Any other questions? Thanks, Thomas. It has a huge implication if they remove it and they rely on north of the river for the industries. As Thomas mentioned, it's not going to affect us much. I mean, it's going to affect our funding a little, different type of fundings, but the most effect is going to be on the industries and power plants, and it's going to be very costly. So I do encourage you to take a look at that, and if you would like to make a comment on it, that would be very helpful. Any other comments, questions? Number five, public comments.
I'd like the state to clarify what they're going to do on the overpass on the Lloyd Expressway over Pigeon Creek and the railroad tracks. They've taken half the sidewalk up on each side, and it is a hazard going west on there because they put some kind of a warning sign there, but people have still hit it already. Is the state going to take the sidewalk completely out on each side, or are they going to leave it just the way it is?
Would you like to respond now, or do you?
No, I would have to look into it to figure out what they're going to do. I know they pulled out the sidewalk to do work there last summer. Mm-hmm.
They took half the sidewalk out on each side, and it's not bad going east. But going west, you can be over a little too far, and you're going to hit it. It is a hazard, and I thought maybe they had plans on doing something at Wabash too, because that's
where the sidewalk closed sign is at Wabash.
Because at Wabash, you come off the hill there, and people from out of town are coming out of the hill and go right to the stop sign, stoplight. That's no good. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other comments? Motion to adjourn?
Make a motion.
Second? We adjourn. Thank you very much.